Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Steve Jones Show on a Thursday. And you heard it first, 1 week away from Penn State and Purdue to begin the 2022 Penn State football season. Matt Catrillo here with you. Steve, of course, will soon be there from the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, great selection of pre-owned inventory with the inspections, with the diagnostics, with all the routine maintenance, and a sales staff that is there for you and not just there for the sale. And it's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com, home of the repeat customer. And we all know SMC stands for Sunbury Motor Company, selling more cars and satisfying more customers. With that comes the need for many great behind-the-scenes employees. While they have many awesome technicians ready to serve you, they need more due to the busy business that a 107-year-old dealership has earned. They're looking for entry-level and experienced technicians to work in their quick lane, car light truck service, heavy truck service, body frame and alignment, and towing departments. Whether you are an experienced technician, an entry-level technician looking for your first job, or someone looking for a career change, they would love to hear from you. Stop by in person, apply online at sunburymotors.com, or you can call Todd at 286-7746. So there you have it there. Lots of football to get to today, of course, mention. 1 week away from Penn State Purdue. If you missed it yesterday, Steve gave some interesting insights to Purdue that's not great for the Boilermakers. A lot of injury concerns with them. And it seems like they have a lot of work to do in a short amount of time before they play Penn State next week. So check that out on the podcast page if you haven't yet. Very interesting yesterday. And, of course, tomorrow is week one of high school football, and we have the return of our high school football podcast, or roundtable, I should say, today. We have Greg Wetzel for Lewisburg, the Chief, in to talk Shikellamy. They'll be in studio, and Zach Showers will be calling in to talk about Sealands Grove. We'll have Shikellamy here on WKOK as they host Central Columbia. Lewisburg opens Saturday night versus Shamokin. And Sealands Grove is at Belfont tomorrow. All pregame start at 6:30. Sealands Grove's over on Eagle 107. Lewisburg is on 100.9 The Valley. All kickoffs at 7. All pregames begin at 6:30. Or I'm sorry, Lewisburg this week is a 7:30 kickoff. Check that. But for Shikellamy and for Sealands Grove, 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock kick. So we'll have...
You're all excited.
Yeah. And I got South Williamsport in Milton, too, on SECV8. We're all over the docket.
Yeah. Going to wear your Eagles jersey?
No, I can't do that.
Why? What's the holdup?
That'd be a little unprofessional. I do try to be professional when I have the mic on. I try.
It's $23,000 raised by the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament.
Yes, sir.
For the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. Thank Purdy Insurance, the Purdy family. For Bonnie and the Y, it's going to bring great benefit to so many people in our area. Awesome. Thrilled about it. So there you go. Great start to the day. Great start to the show. To talk about the $23,000. Also confirmation that if you're not in your flight, if you're not first or second, you're last.
F-O-U-L-E-D, that spells found.
I read the scores. If you're not first or second, you're last. I think it's a fair assessment, don't you?
That's how it goes.
The most important part's the 23K. It's going to help. And that's what you do. You try to give back, trying to help. Okay. So, Chet Holmgren's out for the year. Foot injury. He was at a pro-am event. Now you got a lot of people wondering, should you be playing? I mean, everything is about bubble wrap these days. He got hurt. Well, LeBron played in the same event. He was playing against LeBron when it happened. They didn't bubble wrap him. Next, Tom Brady is expected to play in the Bucks preseason finale. He had to tend to some personal issues. He is healthy and he practiced. Cameron Brait said it was weird having him out. Patrick Beverley ends up being traded from the Utah Jazz to the Lakers. Another Yankee injury. They pile up. Nestor Cortez gone.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
Yeah, that hurts.
As usual, the usual ridiculous stuff in the article. He is second on the Yankee rotation in WAR at 2.6. Nobody knows what that means. Nobody. Okay, you're young. You tell me, what does it mean?
Isn't it like wins with runs scored or something like that?
Nobody knows what it means. The make-believe stat. Look, he's good. He's been essentially the number two or three starter on that team. That's all it means. I don't need a number to do that. I got two eyes. The WAR stat is for the cloistered. I don't know anything about sports, so I'll do a number.
Wins okay. Above replacement.
I know what it means. How do you calculate it? How do you get there? Okay? This is one for you. A little harder to replace. He's pitched well. You want to know why? I've got two eyes. I don't need a stat. And by the way, our audience is really, really smart. They don't need a stat either. They have eyes. They don't need stats. Now, there's certain things that confirm where you are, which what's your ERA, how many innings, strikeouts per nine innings, things like that, that are interesting. This is like yesterday. Okay, so let's go back to O'Neill Cruz. He hits the absolute shot at 122.8 miles an hour. I mean, it is the baseball definition of a bullet, right? And then somebody comes up with the, it would have been a home run in how many different parks? You want to know why Vin Scully never said that on a broadcast? And why I have never said that on a baseball broadcast? You want to know why? You can do this, I'm telling you. Did he never say it? Why did I never say it?
Because it doesn't matter.
Because it was not a home run in that park that he was hitting in. What does it matter if it would have been a home run at Yankee Stadium? You're not playing in Yankee Stadium. You're playing at PNC Park. It's not a home run. It's a single. I mean, it's stupid stuff like that that is bogging down baseball broadcasts left and right. I mean, bogging it into the ground. For people to go, all right, well, it's still a single, right? Yeah, it's a single. It doesn't matter if it's a home run in Toronto. We're not playing in Toronto, are we? Right?
Nope.
I mean, you got to be realistic. I mean, you got to be real with people. And by the way, you know, that the 122.8, you know what that shows me? What great potential he does have. It's going to be a question of whether he can harness it. But that shows you what he's capable of. Okay? So that, I mean, that part means something. All right? That part does mean something. But the result of it, it's a single. It's like with the he broke Stanton's record. All right. Well, he hit into a double play. Rays lead the Angels 5-1, bottom of the seventh, St. Petersburg. Cards lead the Cubs at Wrigley 3-1, bottom of the third. Phillies get the Pirates next, but not tonight, right? It's not tonight. Oh, actually, no, the Phillies still have the Reds tonight. They got one more game, then they get the Pirates. And the Phillies tonight will have Aaron Nola on the mound against Justin Dunn. Dunn's really struggled. He hasn't been out there that often, but he's really struggled. Nola's been up and down. But again, 3.25 ERA, really good. 157 and two-thirds innings pitched, only given up 129 hits. And he has more strikeouts than innings pitched. And not only that, Nola has an 8-1 strikeout-to-walk ratio. Now, the problem he's had, he has given up 16 home runs. Like, those are stats that mean something. Okay? Those are, again, you're talking to fans. You have to relate stuff that they understand. I got it. Mike Trout's out of the lineup. The guy in there isn't as good. Don't need a WAR number to tell me that. And Bryce Harper is still about a week away. You know what else is a week away? Penn State, Purdue. That's a week away. Yeah.
Bingo!
There you go. Then there's this story. Mario Morris, Notre Dame's executive deputy athletics director, has been hired as the NCAA's vice president of administration and chief financial officer. No offense, why would you take that job? Why? There are a lot of people that think in 5 years the NCAA doesn't exist. Why do you take that job?
That's a very good question.
That's why I asked it. Then there's these. Illinois names Tommy DeVito starting quarterback. Transfer from Syracuse. He beat out Art Sitkowski, transfer from Rutgers. Keaton Slovis, transfer, USC. Starting quarterback, Pitt. Charlie Brewer, transfer, Utah. Starting quarterback, Liberty. JT Daniels, transfer, Georgia. Starting quarterback, West Virginia. Over and over and over. You feel like it's the valley of the retreads. In fact, between Jackson Dart at Ole Miss, JT Daniels at West Virginia, Keaton Slovis at Pitt, those are three former USC quarterbacks that are going to be starting at other schools. All right, high school roundtable next half hour, including Seelan's Grove Belfont. Yeah. Reuben Frank tomorrow, by the way, at 3:35. By the way, I saw your picture of the young man with the Mark jersey on.
Yes.
That's actually Luke. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The 1-0, back up the middle, chance here for Zurich, and that'll do it. Texas with a win over Pennsylvania. They play again tomorrow, and they end the great season for Hollidaysburg.
Okay, great to have you with us on the show today. Greg and the Chief are already in studio.
They are ready to roll.
Is there an invader coming in just to say hi?
We can't even get him to come say hi, let alone invade.
Boy, it must be good to be that good and that powerful.
All based on what I'm told, of course.
I'm surprised he doesn't have a driver take him to the games.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Cam, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory, all with the Sunbury Motors guarantee, and a great service department. They need more techs than ever. Getting so much business there. So if you're experienced, entry-level, looking for that first job, looking for a career change, they'd love to hear from you. Stop by in person, apply online at sunburymotors.com, or call Todd at 286-7746. Time now for our first high school football roundtable of the season. With that, we start out with Zach Showers. Zach, great to have you with us. Seelan's Grove Belfont, great to have you back.
Hey, thanks as always, Steve. It's great to be back for another season.
All right, so Seelan's Grove has been a team that has thrown the ball a lot, then couldn't throw the balls effectively, had to rely more on the running game as time's gone. This is over the last few years. What kind of team are they now?
Well, I think you're actually looking at one of the more balanced teams going into a season that we've had in the past couple. You're looking at a little bit more experienced offensive line coming back that the coaches have been very positive through preseason practice about. You have junior quarterback Mark Pastore, who went through the typical ups and downs that a sophomore quarterback does at the high school level, had some excellent games, had some games where he really struggled, turned the ball over. He's back and has a lot of weapons. He's got a junior running back, Tucker Teets, who had over 600 yards last year. It just kind of scratched the surface on his potential. And then he's got wide receiver Gavin Bastian, who's a sophomore, who was the second leading receiver last year for Salem's Grove. Has a lot of speed, 6'1", good size. And some other guys under the radar that I know, talking to the coaches, they're really excited about a wide receiver. So I think it's a team that's going to throw the ball around a little bit. But there's a lot of talent back at that running back position, and I think everything I've heard preseason and seen is we should have a pretty balanced offensive attack.
All right, so now let's get to the next part of this, and that is, do you have a read yet on how many guys might have to play both ways?
Actually, this is a pretty one-way type team. You have a few guys in the secondary, just a few guys on the line, and a few guys at linebacker that'll be going both ways. So I know talking to Coach Derek Hicks yesterday, he feels confident in the secondary that they can play six different guys back there, which definitely helps your quarterbacks going one way. So, you know, at the high school level, a lot of times you're seeing your better players going both ways, and that's going to be the case for a couple guys. But talking to coaches and from what we saw in the preseason scrimmage, this is a team that I think is going to be able to compete late into games because they're going to have some fresh athletes out there.
Okay. They've got Belfont in the opener. Belfont has had some good teams over the years. Last year, they really struggled. What kind of read, if any, do you have on them?
Yeah, they are a little bit of a tough team to read. They definitely did struggle to a 2-8 record last year. They're a team that gave up a lot of points. And I think Salem's Grove's offense feels pretty confident that they're going to be able to make some plays both in the passing game and the running game. In their scrimmage, they showed a bit more of a vanilla look. I had a conversation with Coach Hicks yesterday for the broadcast on Friday, and he mentioned that there was rumors that they could potentially be looking at a triple option attack. So even though they didn't show that in the scrimmage, it's something that the team has been practicing against all week. So, you know, never easy to go against that, and that can throw a few wrinkles. But this is a confident team. It's not a total senior-laden team, but it's a group that the coaches and players have really worked hard in the offseason. And there's a lot of positives and confidence going into tomorrow night's matchup.
How vanilla was Salem's Grove in its scrimmage?
Could you repeat that again? Sorry.
How vanilla was Salem's Grove in its scrimmage?
A little bit. I know that there's some things in the passing game that, you know, they did not show. When it comes to defense, the 3-5 defense has been a staple. You know, there's wrinkles that you can throw in there, but for the most part, what you're going to see Salem's Grove run is the same thing that you've seen Salem's Grove run the past almost 20 years now, you know, just with some new personnel and some wrinkles depending who the opponent is.
Zach, what a pleasure to have you back. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Now we go into the studio where I just feel like I'm breaking up conversation here. Greg, how are you?
Great, Steve. How are you doing?
Doing terrific.
Great.
All right, so Lewistown.
Lewisburg.
Right? Berg. Or Lewis, excuse me, Lewisburg. Sorry about that. Lewistown's
okay.
So close.
I know.
Lewisburg, they went through their scrimmage. What did you think?
They're a work in progress. You know, they showed some things. They showed flashes. Their line, which was surprising to me, they have five returning linemen now. Four of them played last year a lot. The fifth one got hurt early in the season, but he's returning now for his senior year. So they essentially have five linemen returning that have played a lot of football. And pass blocking was a little weak last week. Run blocking, they did a nice job run blocking. Mm-hmm. Their pass blocking, they need some work on that yet.
Last year, I think we talked about the line of scrimmage, and it was a struggle for Lewisburg.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can it be better this year?
It can be, but this will be a heck of a test for them because Shamokin is very big across the front line defensively and offensively. But, again, Lewisburg has returning starters, and they finished the season 5-2 last year, and they feel good about themselves right now. And I think they're quick. They're not overly big, but they're quick. And I think that could give some teams some difficulty.
All right. Quarterback play is always going to be critical. How do they look at that spot, and what are the pros and cons?
Wade Young's a three-year starter. He started at Milton his sophomore year, and he started at Lewisburg last year as a junior. He's taken charge of the offense this year. He's gone to a couple quarterback camps during the summer. I talked to Coach Wicks the other day about how he feels about his quarterback. He says that's a position he doesn't have to worry about right now. Wade has taken charge of the offense, and he's looked real good in the practices that I've been to.
Okay. There's a physicality to Shamokin.
Yes.
How important is it going to be, especially in the first quarter and a half, to not only combat that, but also get to the lead and play with the lead to maybe get them out of that?
That's right. And last year Lewisburg lost this game 6-3, and it was a defensive battle. And really what it was Shamokin had the desire to hit and knock people down. It was a hot Saturday afternoon, and the Max Madden, the running back, ran for about 150 yards, and that was the difference in the game. This year, Shamokin doesn't have that type of a running back, at least returning. They have some athletes back there, but their best athlete in the backfield is their quarterback. And they have three or four talented wide receivers. And I think you're going to see Shamokin be a little more wide open this year instead of a running attack. I think they'll throw the ball a lot more. I think that plays to Lewisburg's strength, their defensive secondary and linebackers.
You know, when you look at the first, let's take three, four games of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Can Lewisburg get out of the gate?
If they do, you're going to see them in Cumberland Valley this year, not Hershey. It's Cumberland Valley. If they do, they open with Shamokin. They go to Montoursville, Jersey Shore, and Southern Columbia. I mean, if they're still standing upright after their first four games, we'll talk about how good they're going to do. But they have a tough four-game stretch to start the season.
And now we turn to Greg, what I refer to as the absolute definition of guilt by association.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Are my hero,
Chief.
Hey, it's hard to believe that we're back at it so soon. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
I want you to enjoy this segment. You want to know why?
Sure, tell me, Steve.
It's the last time all week you're going to be able to talk.
Oh,
all
yeah.
So.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
Well, you know, Greg and I get here early because we're getting close to our seventh decade of life, and we're just preparing ourselves so we can sit down and talk about everything we used to do or right. think we can do. So you were right. There was a good conversation going on here.
Yeah. Somebody said to me that, like, boy, Chief goes through football and basketball. He never gets horrible. And I said, you have to talk to do that.
S-U-I-T, yeah. That spells Suta.
So, Dave, the scrimmage that you went to, and obviously they've done some internal ones.
Montoursville.
But the one external one, what did you like about it?
I liked a lot of things, but the most important thing I saw was right from the first series, the Shikellamy Braves came to play. They did not wait to get warmed up. They took it to Montoursville on offense, and on defense, they did the same thing. I saw people around the ball consistently when somebody would hold a runner up, and it was just a pleasure to watch a team play as physical as they did that first scrimmage. We also, Steve, have a freshman quarterback, and we're very fortunate that he has his own personal coach in one Logan Leiby, all right, from Seals Grove, one of the greatest passers ever. And he's turned Brody into maybe a couple of games ahead of schedule just with his presence there. But Brody looked good, and the receivers looked good. We ran the ball, and everything just I think everybody was pleasantly surprised at how well the Braves played. Of course, you know, like I tell you, Coach Purnell used to say, you're never as good as you thought you were, and you're never as bad as you thought you were. So I didn't get a chance to sit down and listen what the coaches had to say. But from my point of view, we look good.
Okay, so let's get on really the same question I asked Greg, because we talked about the trenches so much with Lewisburg last year. Because it was a factor so many times, because Lewisburg has some really good skill people. So what do you think about the trenches for Schick?
It'll be a question mark. I think one of the only linemen that's back is the quarterback's brother, Mason Dietrich. He's going to be his center. But everybody else are going to start a freshman. They've got some kids that played last year as freshmen and sophomores. But just one starter. The Braves have 36 kids on their roster. And so you talk about how people going both ways. There's probably going to be 8 kids going both ways for the Braves. And so the line is very important because, if we lose one kid, one person that's been, gone through all the reps at practice and we have to throw someone else in that's inexperienced, it could present a problem. On defense, I think we've got some solid kids playing up front on the line. I think we can stick with anybody from what I saw against Montoursville, and they're a very good program up at Montoursville.
Okay. This actually is for the two of you. In college football, a lot of teams are playing 4-2-5s now. Greg, I think you brought up playing, 3-5?
No. Lewisburg plays pretty much standard 4-3.
4-3.
Yeah.
Okay. So are you seeing more schools, because there is a propensity to want to throw the ball, that are playing, and this is for each of you, that have been playing more of a 4-2-5, more secondary guys? Are you seeing that, or are you still seeing the standard 4-3s?
No, I agree with what you're saying, because in Lewisburg's 4-3, one of their linebackers is almost like a hybrid. He could be a defensive back. But he Cam Michaels, for instance, is going to play that hybrid position. He's 5'7", 155 pounds.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
That's no, it's I think they're looking much more at passing offenses than we did in past years. There's not a lot of teams that just run it down your throat anymore.
Yeah, I agree with Greg. I saw them in a 3-5. I saw them in, you said a 3-2 with 5 defensive backs, and I've seen them in 4-4. But exactly what Greg said, usually one of those linebackers or two of those linebackers end up, covering for the pass. The Braves did intercept several passes against Montoursville, and they looked, again, they attacked the ball. So, it was just one of those days that they didn't do anything fancy, nothing fancy there. You didn't see any stunts. You didn't see any blitzes. You didn't see any trying to hide the defense. They just played straight one-on-one defense. And I would again agree with you, too, that we're very, very pass-oriented on defense.
Yeah, because, the game has changed so much that it used to be on Friday nights, you could almost count on the pound and pound and pound and pound, and it just feels like everything is opened up on the high school level the way it has on the college and pro level.
And that's true, Steve. And part of that reasoning is, when I was in school, football practice started like the second Monday in August,
Yes.
And that's when you got together. Now these coaches and stuff are working with players almost year round. Yeah. You know, and really they're putting a passing offense in prior to the start of fall practice. Their offense is down there on 7-7 camps. You know, they get together during the summer practicing and throwing. It's completely different than when Dave and I were in school.
Yeah, the Braves went to a lot of 7-on-7, and they went to a lot of really good. They went to State College at Penn State to a 7-on-7, and they had some good competition there.
So when you look at the way the game is played right now, and it relates to the two schools that the two of you broadcast for, when you look at the development of linemen, how tough is it to develop guys on the offensive line right now? It's always been tough anyway, but now more than ever.
I look at some teams that we play, and I look at their offensive and defensive lines, and you don't see the really big immobile kids playing those positions like the old Cowboys had on their offensive line. You see kids that are athletes, and that if you don't have an athlete on your offensive line, you're really going to be in trouble because the foot skills are just so, they're just as important as anybody, any skill position with their foot skills, and that's something that as a coach, sometimes you have to compensate for if you have a kid that does not have that natural ability. But it's tough to teach kids to block now. I mean, it used to be you used your shoulder and squeezed the helmet into the guy, and you had a reverse shoulder and a down block. But now they shadow block. They use their hands. Yeah. And it's Steve, I don't know if I'd be successful as a coach anymore. I really don't.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Are you seeing more area blocking?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Very much so. Yeah.
Yeah, not as much pulling or anything like that,
well,
right?
The Braves will run the wing tee, and they'll run their sweep.
And you do pull.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yep, they'll pull, and your guards have to be very athletic and just a hair slower than the guy that has the ball that's running with it. So,
I thought you used a critical word in the answer just before that. You used the word compensate. Dave, you're an expert on that. You've been doing it for decades. All right, so... is it really this easy?
I'm sure that Kevin's listening, all right, so I am laughing.
Oh, of course he is.
Are you talking about
25 years, Steve. 25 years.
And congratulations on the award last year. You guys.
Thank you.
Is that your phone ringing?
Yeah, it is. It is my phone. I'm going to see who it is.
It's probably Kevin.
It's my daughter.
It's Kevin.
Right? It's my daughter. No.
It's your daughter. Oh, thank goodness. Oh, good. Hey, Dad, you sound great on the radio.
Yeah, I hope so.
It's the first time in 25 years I heard you talk.
Yeah. Oh, my.
All right, guys, thanks so much.
Thank you, Steve.
Yep.
Great to have the High School Roundtable back. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
By the way, Chase Young is out the first 4 weeks of the season for the Commanders. The Yankees and Mets drew 617,000 viewers on YES Network for the second game of the series. DirecTV now has a new deal with Amazon Prime Video to broadcast Thursday Night Football in more than 300,000 sports bars, restaurants, and hotels.